to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld, and behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. One more passage, please. The book of James in the New Testament. Short, practical book, immediately after the book of the Hebrews, and the second chapter, well-known verses to us, James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. Father, we thank thee again for another opportunity to look into the Word. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast promised, though heaven and earth should pass away, thy word is settled forever in heaven. We thank thee for the eternal word that we find in our hands that describes to us the living word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And our forebears were able to say, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Father, we ask thee this evening for one thing and one thing only, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be lifted high, that he may be put up, and men would be put down, and in so doing that he would draw all men unto himself. Bless us while we wait upon thee. We ask thee for all hearts that are bowed, that hear thy word this evening in thy presence, for we know that thou art here. We would ask, above all, that we would know thee, whom to know is life eternal. We ask thee, Father, that if there be any here in this place or within the sound of voice that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that the Spirit of God would convict of sin and convince of Christ tonight, to the end that the kingdom of God would be expanded, and that indeed in all things our Savior may receive the preeminence. Be with us now. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. These things we would ask in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. We stated this morning that we were going to have a look at the life of Abraham in three aspects. We looked briefly at the first two this morning. For those who are not able to be here, we'll go over them very briefly. Really, the title of these two messages, the words that can be placed above them are these: Do you believe in God? It's a question that on this side of the Western world is all too easy to answer. There's no repercussions for believing in God. But the thing that we need to understand is that simply having trust in the fact that there is a God is not enough to save you. You know, we say these things very carefully, but we find them in the Word of God. The Bible tells us very clearly that the demons believe, and they go further than this. They tremble at that belief. Well, there's no hope for them. Well, what of us? The question was posed so many years ago, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is simply this. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and more than this, and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Have you ever sought after God in your life? Have you ever come to the crossroads where you realize who you are and you understand who He is? And in light of that understanding, make that decision of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Abraham had faith. We read about him, after all, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the great hall of faith. Three pinnacle peaks in his life. The first was when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, a great city of the day. And the Bible tells us something very interesting. It says of Abraham that he went out not knowing where he went. But thankfully, he had one with him who knew exactly where he was going. And Abraham believed God when he didn't know where God was leading him. And yes, belief in God is a step of faith. We don't know where the Lord would lead us. Not so long ago, the story came to my mind, as a matter of fact, over lunch this afternoon. We were talking about some mutual friends that we had in Colorado. Well, in a high school in Colorado, not so long ago, there was a girl who woke up and went to school just as any other day. It was no particularly special day. The day had no festive meaning. It was in the middle of the week. It was just another day. When she got to school, she was confronted by a question. And mark you, every one of us will be marked with this question. She was asked, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And literally moments after the question was asked, she was ushered into His presence. I wonder if we were in certain circumstances that were similar to these, and someone were to ask us the question, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ?" What would your answer be? There's altogether too much easy faith being preached from pulpits today. And the question is this: if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, is there evidence in your life of that faith? Abraham believed in God, not knowing where the Lord was going to lead him. When the Lord had taken him to the place that was to be his inheritance, something happened. As a matter of fact, nothing happened. He was without a son. There was no heir in his house. And under Old Testament law, well before the time of the Jews, but in Old Testament law, whoever was born first in your house would inherit all that you had if you did not have a firstborn heir. And Abraham turns to God and says, "How can it be that I will inherit what you have given me, seeing as I have no son, and Eleazar of Damascus is mine only heir?" But the interesting thing is, God told him, He says, "You will have a son." Now, at this time, Abraham was at least 100 years old, and Sarah was at least 80 years old. And under any circumstances, that's a remarkable promise. But we read in Genesis chapter 15 very, very simply that Abraham believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. And Abraham believed God, not knowing how he was to perform what he was to perform. Is this the faith that we have in God? Is this how we believe in our Savior? You know, sometimes the Lord calls us to have a public faith, like that girl in Columbine, on that fateful day. And certainly in the day when Abraham left his father's house and left Ur of the Chaldees, never to live in a house again, by the way. And sometimes God calls us to go out in a very public fashion and say, I believe God, not knowing where. But sometimes it's a little more quiet and it's a little bit more personal. Maybe there's something in your life this evening that God is calling you to believe in Him in regards to. And you just don't know how God is going to work it out. But you know, the interesting thing is, we don't have to know how it works out. You know, nowhere do we ever have an explanation of how it was that Sarah gave birth, but we know she did. We know that Abraham fathered Isaac, and out of him, all the nations of the world were blessed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, we don't ever have an explanation. And sometimes we don't know how, but we know God can. Is this the faith that characterizes our lives? And finally, for the time that remains, what we'd like to look at is Genesis chapter 22. And probably the most difficult thing of all is to trust God not knowing why. It's one thing to trust God not knowing where. It's another thing to trust God not knowing how. But it's altogether another proposition to trust God not knowing why. Why? Why would it ever be that God would request the life of the son that he had given to Abraham? And I'll suggest to you this. It was never God's intention to take Isaac's life, but to have Abraham's heart. When the Lord asks us to go through difficult circumstances, and I must say, I stand before you having gone through very little. But I'm certain there are people who are here who've gone through much more. And the question rises in our breasts and settles in our minds. Why? Why? That's the time for unquestioned faith. And the blessings that flow from that faith, that trust in God, are innumerable. So Abraham trusted God not knowing where. Abraham trusted God not knowing how. But he also trusted God not knowing why. Turn back, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 22. And we'll begin our thoughts for the meeting at hand. Verse 33 of chapter 21 is very interesting. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there upon the name of the Lord. And a very particular name of the Lord is used. He's called the Everlasting God. El Olam. Now this is a very interesting term in reference to God himself, and we don't have time to get into it, but I leave it with you. This is in regards to the great mysteries of God himself. What Abraham did is he went to a place and he planted a grove in a place called Beersheba, and there he communed with God and he fellowshiped back and forth. And he called upon the name of the Everlasting Lord. And great mysteries undoubtedly will reveal to Abraham in those communications. What mysteries? Well, they're not recorded for us. but certainly those times were sweet. The Bible talks about many mysteries, but it elevates one above all else. Did you know that? The Bible says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Was this what communed, what went back and forth between Abraham and God? We don't know. But this we know, that it was a sweet time of fellowship between man and God. Verse 22 starts this way, and it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham. You know, there's a principle in Scripture, and it is this. After times of blessing, after uplifting times, there's often tests that come immediately upon the heels of that blessing. These things we find all throughout Scripture. But let's just take a moment and have a look at one example in the life of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. For sake of time, we won't look at chapter 3, but suffice it to say that there in chapter 3 was a time of great blessing. When the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by John, and the God of heaven spoke on his behalf and said, "This is my beloved Son." And the dove settled upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was marked out from all other prophets that came before and any other prophet that would come thereafter. And he had a special mark placed upon him by God himself. But chapter 4 and verse 1 starts this way. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tested by the devil. And in these days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards was hungry. And the devil said unto him, and beset him to test him. You know, it's interesting. The Bible tells us that God's blessings are new every morning. But the interesting thing is the workings of the devil are very similar year after year. And the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ was tested or tempted is almost identical to the way in which Eve was tested and tempted back in the book of Genesis chapter 3. The interesting thing, though, is we need to lay out the ground rules before we get into the examination of exactly how they were tested in similar fashion. The ground rules were altogether very different. Let's remember, where was Eve? She was in a garden. And there she was, surrounded by all the fruit trees of the garden, able to eat out of every single one, but one. And there was no hunger. And there was no thirst. As a matter of fact, there was not even a thorn or a thistle to prick one's foot upon as they walked in the garden. It was a place of complete luxury, of complete ease, of absolute delight. But the Lord Jesus Christ was in a very different place. The Bible tells us that he was on the backside of the desert. And that he had gone without eating for 40 days, 40 nights. There's much to that number 40, but we won't take the time to go into it. But suffice it to say that after that long period of time, certainly it had borne on his body. After we go without food for a few days and we use up all of the sugar reserves that we find in our liver, gone in several hours, we start to break down the fat that's in our bodies. There are certain chemical processes that take place that make us begin to feel unwell and unsettled. and we begin to feel weak. And after several days, weeks, we literally begin to break down the proteins or the muscles in our bodies to maintain life. And then the situation becomes much worse. And the Lord had not eaten for 40 days, and there he was. And this is the time that the devil chose to tempt him. And he came to him and he said this, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be bread." And Jesus answered him and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." You remember what the very first thing Eve looked on? She looked at the fruit and saw that it was what? Good for food. And there she was, surrounded by all sorts of beautiful and wonderful fruits, and yet she saw that this particular fruit was good for food, and she chose it. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? The very first words out of his mouth, "It is written." And the Lord Jesus Christ used the word of God to back the devil off. The second thing that took place, the devil, taking up to a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's a very interesting phrase. In a moment of time. Now, there have been some kingdoms in this world. There have been marked out by seven wonders of the world. There have been great creations that man has made. Some that we can't reproduce today. Did you know that without using the equipment that we have today, it is not possible under our current abilities, with solely physical labor, to make the pyramids of Egypt today? There are incredible things that took place in the history of man. But the devil shows all of these kingdoms to the Lord Jesus Christ. How? In a moment of time. It will take an eternity. It will take an eternity to describe what the Lord Jesus Christ performed on our behalf in three dark hours. As the ageless years roll on, and time has no meaning in a dispensation to come, we will begin to understand exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We will begin to understand what he has elevated us to. But when it comes to all the best that the devil has to produce, that can be shown to us in a moment of time. And the second thing that Eve looked at was not only that it was good for food, but that it was a pleasant fruit. And finally, the last thing that the Lord was tempted with for sake of time was that he was brought up to the pinnacle of the temple and was told to cast himself down. And the interesting thing is, the devil here quotes scripture. And the devil says, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here. For it is written, he shall give angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." It's an interesting study. We'll just take a very quick aside. If you want an interesting study, have a look at the times when the devil quotes scripture. He always quotes it either incorrectly or incompletely. And here he did not quote a very important part, which is in the will of the Lord, or in the paths of the Lord. Wouldn't it have been an amazing thing for the Lord Jesus Christ to stand on the pinnacle of the temple and to cast himself down and land several meters below without any damage? Wouldn't that have been an interesting thing? Well, it may not have been. It may have been interesting, but I'll tell you this, it wasn't in the will of the Lord. There was something else that the Lord Jesus Christ was planned for. And that was a place on Calvary's cross. Do you have an understanding? Do I have an understanding of what Calvary's cross was like? I'll confess to you, this has been a source of much contemplation to me lately. The fact that we are so unable to understand how terrible Calvary's cross was. The depths of agony that the Lord Jesus Christ went through for you and for me. An awful place. The depths of woe that cannot be spoken. Our time is fast flying. Turn back, please, if you would, to the book of Genesis. And we'll look at the test that Abraham went through. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cut the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him of. Here's an interesting thing. Now, Abraham by this point was probably a man of about 120 years. He was an elderly man, but he was a very well-to-do man. He had much wealth. But the interesting thing is, we're told very clearly that he rose up early in the morning. Let me ask you this. If the Lord had asked you to do this, what time of day would you wake up? I know what I would have done. But obedience to the Lord is immediate obedience. Let me leave this with you as well. Do you know the Bible tells you that it is impossible for a man to raise an anxious thought in the heart of another man when it comes to eternal things? It's not possible. But if anything has pricked your heart with regards to eternity, these things come straight from the Spirit of God. And obedience to Him is immediate obedience. It may be that time will pass, 6 or 7 minutes that we have left in the meeting, and you'll get up and you'll walk out those back doors. And the convicting of the Holy Spirit won't be upon you anymore. And you won't feel the burden of your sins. And you won't see the Savior in His beautiful light. And you'll walk out that door. And it may be too late. We are never, ever guaranteed of tomorrow. I can tell you countless experiences where I have seen children, young people, infants, die in a moment. Gone. 1 minute, they're warm. Full of life, pink, playful, gone. The next. We are not guaranteed of tomorrow. Lord willing, tomorrow I have plans just like you. I have a whole slate of people to see tomorrow. I'm sure it's quite full. Lord willing, I'll leave the chapel apartment very early and take a flight to Nassau and get in my car and start the day. But all of that can change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we can be called into the presence of the Lord. Either through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, or by the veil of tears that is death, one or the other. And the question is this, dear friend, don't look back on this moment and say, the Spirit of God was grappling with my heart. And I just said, not now. And I decided to think about something else. And I decided to just put it off and lost the opportunity. If the Spirit of God is upon your heart and on your mind tonight, get it right tonight. Don't leave. Don't go out those doors without being sure being very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. There's so much more that can be said. Abraham rose up early and he went to a place where the Lord showed him off. Another very interesting phrase. He took him to one of the mounts in Moriah, the area of Moriah. And scholars tell us that this was very near to the future city of Jerusalem, just outside. And more than likely, this would have been the place, one of the mountains, if not the mountain, upon which the Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed. And just for a moment, think about the mind of God here. Time for God means very little. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, saith the Lord. And in a very brief period of time, as he looked down upon Abraham and Isaac, he realized that there would be a time when he would look down upon his only son. And on this particular day in Genesis 22, there was intervention. And God called unto Abraham and he said, Abraham, Abraham. That may not mean very much on this side of the Atlantic. But you know, in the Middle East, where my heritage is from, when you have affection for someone, you don't call them dearest or beloved. You call their name twice. That's how you show affection. And the interesting thing is, in all of this account, we don't read of any emotion whatsoever, except maybe this peeking out. And the heart of God calls to Abraham. He says, Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm. But was the mind of the Lord thinking to a time when that perfect paschal lamb, not the lamb that was caught in a thicket, you know, the accuracy of Scripture is so complete. The Bible says very clearly that he was caught, how? By his horns. If he'd been caught by any other part of his body, there would be scars and marks, and he'd be unacceptable for a burnt offering. This paschal lamb was also perfect and without blemish and without spot. But there was no reprieve for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When on the same mount, very close to it, he took Isaac's place, and he took Abraham's place. And thank God he took my place. And the wonderful thing is he took your place as well. The only question that remains is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe God this evening? And that's the question I'd like to nestle into your mind tonight. And until you can come to a place and say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe God, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, may you have no peace tonight. May the Spirit of God struggle with your spirit. Until it is, that you would bow the knee and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the example of Abraham, that he believed not knowing where you led. He believed not knowing how you were to accomplish. And that he believed not knowing why these things were required. And we pray, Father, that this man, this life of faith, we would learn from it. And that indeed we would have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, Father, we pray for saving faith. That each and every head bowed before Thee this evening would know in whom they have believed and be persuaded that He is able to keep that which they've committed unto Him against that day. Father, we also ask for saints as well, that we would have sustaining faith, that we would trust Thee day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, until it is that we see Thee face to face. Bless us, cause us to be a blessing for the sole purpose that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be lifted and that He would draw all men unto Himself. These things we ask in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen.